Oh, dear God. Thank you. You are such a good God to us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly lain at our table this day and each day by day. Day by day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray: to love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly, day by day, by day. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Snuck through that one almost unscathed, yeah. So, prayer doesn't have to be that way, okay? I mean, one of the things I hear so often from people is they say, well, I don't know how to pray. You know what I always want to say back is, do you know how to talk? I mean, that's really all it is. I mean, you don't have to say the right words in the right way, or like there's a formula or something, or if you don't do it right, like God tunes out, won't pay attention, or somehow that your praying is supposed to be for other people. No. I mean, praying is simply what? It's just getting in touch with God, isn't it? Nothing more. No right ways, no wrong ways. Getting in touch with God. And where does God want to start? God wants to start with whatever it is that's on your heart. What are you thinking about? What's going on? What are you worried about? God says, just don't worry about it so much. Don't worry about pre-qualifying your thoughts. Don't worry about having to be right or wrong. Just why don't you start with where you are, and we'll take her from there. So for us, like right now, here we are. We're gathered. It's Memorial Weekend. We've got some amazing things that are kind of first special times here today. What would we pray about? Like, if we're going to pray right now, what would we be praying about? That's actually a question. Shout some stuff out. What would we pray about today?
For Sawyer.
For Sawyer. Just got baptized. Right? What else? Anything going on in the world? No. Oklahoma. Okay. The tornado that was there. And all the people. What else? Soldiers overseas, friends. Okay, a divorce situation. What else? Family's lost two boys over at the park in St. Paul. Graduates, got a lot of those here. We're going to do a little honoring for them next week. But yeah, that's a big thing going on in a lot of people's lives right now. Transitions like that. What else? Sickness, illnesses and families and some are pretty big. I just haven't known Jean and Diane are here for the first time since their transplant surgery. Not to put the spotlight on you or anything, but pretty amazing. And Delaney's here for the first time over Heidi, over there with her sisters and mom and dad. What else? Strengthening for marriages. Thank you for spring, which may be showing up. There's rumors has it. What else would we pray about if we were going to pray today? Big stuff, little stuff. Say it again. Thankful for the world we have. Oh, thankful for what we have, right? To all of that, I say, amen. We just prayed. That isn't necessarily the right way to pray either, but it is a way to pray. What we did, we began a conversation. We started thinking about it. Some of you said things out loud, and I think there's some power in that. Some of you just kind of had it inside of you, and you're thinking about it. God heard all of it. God doesn't need us to say something all special about it. God wants to begin the conversation. And I think some conversations began there. And so that's a great thing to do. Stuff that works. How do we learn to pray? We simply start doing it. Start talking to God. Start being quiet, listening with God, and be there. So I want to make a little transition into what some other sort of things to talk about today, into ways of seeing God in our daily life. And I want you to know some goals. And if you take your Sunday paper and flip it over the other side, you're going to find an outline there, and you're welcome to follow that along. It's got some of this stuff on there. But we've got some goals here at Jacob's Well in terms of helping you grow close to God. And one is simply this, that we have regular worship with the larger community. That's what we're doing right now. I think there's something really important. When we gather together and we say, one, we are in the presence of God, and we want to learn more about God, we want to understand what it means to be in the presence of God, and we're aware of that, and we're learning how to do that as a community. It's not just me, it's us, and we're going to put this together. I think that's a really essential piece. The next one is that we do that in ways that we have a smaller community where we really know others and are known by others, where we have the opportunity to share, to learn, to care for each other, to support, to encourage, to be vulnerable with each other because our relationships are close enough. And we're able to hold each other accountable in that really friendly, mutual, supportive kind of way of being accountable with one another. Those are two really big goals. The third goal is that we would help each other develop the skills that we need, to gain the skills that we need so that we can pursue our own spiritual growth, our own spiritual life. And that's really what we're talking about today. Today we're taking this time as a larger community in order to talk about what are some things that I can practice as an individual, or at least with my family. Because, you know, like Haley and Graham are raising Sawyer, if we've got kids, you're responsible for helping your child grow up and understand some of these things as well. You're kind of a little congregation by yourself. Now, that's what we're focusing on today. Now here, this is a fill-in on your sheets if you want to do that, but a key to growing in faith is this, okay? Actually doing something, all right? That's a big thing. Where do you start with growing in your faith? Just do something, all right? Try some stuff out. Does that mean that everything you do is going to be helpful? No, probably not, but if you don't do anything, it won't be helpful at all, right? If we know anything, we know that spiritual growth isn't automatic. Spiritual growth happens because we try stuff. We try to grow closer to God. Find things that work, we do them again. Find things that don't work, we try something else. We learn from each other, do some things like that. There are two things that we know about actually doing something that makes it more successful. One is that we do them regularly, all right? And the other is that we put a definition under regular. Once a year is regular, okay? But it doesn't qualify. Regular and often is important. So find things that you're going to do and do them regularly. Do them often. You can imagine going through life saying, I want to grow up to be a healthy individual, and I'm going to eat a really healthy, square, solid meal once a week. You know? Yeah, it's not going to work. Not going to work. Yeah, and by the way, I'll kind of miss that once in a while because when I was going to do it, I ended up, you know, going to McDonald's. But it doesn't work that way. It's the same thing to your spiritual life. All right, a once a week diet on your spiritual life is not going to make you grow up to be spiritually mature. It just means you're going to get left farther and farther behind. Your spiritual development's going to be way behind all the rest of your development, your physical, your social, your emotional, your intellectual development. So that's something that is important to do. I love it in the New Testament. One of the words that Peter has for his congregations, he says, take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. I just think that's a great reminder for us. Take the time and trouble. It is some time. It is some trouble. It sometimes will not be convenient. It is going to require some discipline. But is that different than anything else in life that helps us grow? Is there anything that's really worth having that doesn't require some investment that at times isn't convenient? Will it be worthwhile? I think you're going to enjoy it. I know the stories from people here is that it's going to be some good stuff, but that is how it works. Now, there's some good news about this, and this is kind of where I want to go now, and that is, along with getting comfortable enough with God by learning to talk to God, learning to read the Bible and stuff, and there's other literature and things that's going to stretch your faith and help you grow, God knows there's one other thing that's in your way on a daily basis that is going to help you wake up and understand more about yourself, more about God, more about your relationship with God and with other people. And that other thing is called the world. All right? There's all kinds of things in the world around you that serve as reminders of what God is up to and how God wants you to work and to be in this world. And, it's there. It's regularly and often. It kind of fits our definition. Now, your kids, if you have kids, they're in our children's ministry. Every week, they do stuff in H2O or in Splashville or in River Rats or in the lounge that help them understand who God is and who they are and how all this works from looking at stuff around them in the world. And that's a great opportunity for you to pick up on some of that and to use that with them. So, and every week, if your kids are in H2O and all those other programs, they bring home a little sheet and they maybe bring a little project home. That stuff that they send home with you, Heidi works really hard on that stuff, is not for you to put on the refrigerator, okay? It is for you to sit down with your kid and say, now tell me about that. Well, what's this all about? And let your kid explain it, okay? And have some fun with all of that. So that's something for you to do with your kids. Now, what I want to do is take... Isaac is going to lead the whole thing for us right here. What I want to do is take what the kids did last week in H2O. So, kids, if you were in H2O last week, you're going to be an expert on this, and I'm going to need you to help me a little bit, all right? And you're going to have to help your families and the people around you a little bit with this. But what they talked about last week was trust, all right? And trust is a really basic deal with our faith. In fact, the word faith, the word belief, the word trust are all the same word. If you think about it in English, they all mean the same thing, don't you? To have faith in something is to believe in it, to trust it. In Greek and Hebrew, the languages of the Bible, it's always the same word. And we just translate it into different words in English. But it's about trust. And trust is, the point of trust is that what God wants us to do is to trust God's way with our life. To trust the way that God shows us to live in this world. That's what God is all about. And what we're supposed to do. And that's hard. You know why trust is hard? Because trust requires trust. It'd be so nice if trust didn't require any trust. But that, what does it mean? I mean, that's a self-definition, right? It means you're not sure about it. There's something unexpected, something that might be surprising, something that you're not ready for. And God says, I need you to be willing to do this. Now, the Bible doesn't hide the fact that trust is hard. In fact, the Bible is full of stories that talk about it. And you kids probably remember this story. Adults, we talked about this story a few weeks ago. But there's a great story from Jesus' life. That may sound one of these miracle stories that might be a stumbling block for you. Don't worry about that part of it. Worry about what Jesus is teaching with it, okay? So Jesus is with his disciples, and he's tired. The disciples go off on a boat across the sea, all right? And it's nighttime, and it's a stormy night. It's windy. The waves are all over the place, and the disciples are all in the boat, and they're scared. And all of a sudden, they see someone walking across the water towards them. Now, this is like, if they're not scared yet, this is really going to freak them out. And finally, someone says, you know, I think that's Jesus coming. And Peter says, Jesus says, that's you. Call me, and I will come to you. And Jesus says, come. So what does Peter do? In the middle of the storm, in the middle of the sea, he gets out of the boat, and he starts walking across the water towards Jesus. Because, I mean, think, what's going on? He just knows who Jesus is. He knows that Jesus is what he wants his life to be about. And even though there's all kinds of other stuff going on, things that he's afraid of, when he gets his eyes fixed on Jesus, he just goes to him. He locks eyes with Jesus and he starts walking to him. But what happens? He gets out of the water, out on the water a little ways, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. Maybe, you know, a wave splashed up and caught his attention. You know, the wind whistled and, you know, and all of a sudden he takes his eyes off Jesus and he looks at where he is. And he sinks. Now, isn't that exactly what life is like? I mean, how many times have you been totally inspired to follow God? To say, you know what God talks about, what faith is all about, that's what I want my life about. I'm going to make my decisions about that. I'm going to change the way, a lot of the ways about how I live and everything. And you're so clear and you're so sure about it. You got your focus so well fixed. And then what happens? You get a bill in the mail that you weren't expecting. And all of a sudden, you're all worried about your finances. And all this Jesus stuff is just like... You didn't give up on it, but it's just gone. Or maybe something happens in a key relationship, or something goes wrong at work, or your neighbors get a new car, and all you can think about is, boy, my car is junk. You know, but all these little things, you know, the wind and the waves of life distract us, and our focus comes off Jesus, and suddenly all this great stuff that we think has going on, this trusting that we have with God, falls apart, and we start to sink. But what did Jesus do? Jesus reaches down, grabs Peter's hand, and pulls him up. And he says, oh, your faith isn't very well formed yet. And basically, he isn't scolding Peter. He doesn't say, you blew the test. You're no longer one of my disciples. No, in fact, in the next chapter, he gives him another job. He tests his faith again. What does he tell him? What is Jesus telling him? He says, like we said after the baptism, you can begin again. Peter says, I can begin again. And Peter does over and over again. In fact, he's a great example in the Bible of why you have to be able to start over and over again, because he screws up so much. And he gives us permission to do that too. So, all right, kids that tuned out during that part, now you can listen again, because what you did in H2O was a great way to understand that. And what you've all got a project. On these communion tables around, there's some blue buckets, and there are some purple bottles which have water in them. All right, be careful with them. So, and then there are some pieces of cardboard like this. All right. So we don't have enough for everybody, but I think we have enough for like groups of five or six. So if you kind of look around and figure out what's my little group of five or six, and send a kid or someone to go get a bowl, a bottle, which you aren't going to tip over, right? And a piece of cardboard, and go back to your... Can you go do that? Can you guys do this?
Yeah.
Yes. All right, go do it, and then I'll continue on. So go get this. We're going to try something out. And actually, while that's all happening, I need someone to help me with it. We're talking about trust, right? So I need someone who trusts me. Who's someone who trusts me? Yeah? Come on down. There may be a little shortage of buckets, but you can use the gray thing from the communion table, too, that the cups go in later on, too. Have a seat there, Mr. Ben. Do you want to hold that? So I'm going to do this first, and you can watch, and then you're going to try it, okay? So if I turn this upside... Oh, I mean over here, right? If I turn this over, what's going to happen? It's going to pour all over you, right?
Yep.
So what if I put a piece of cardboard over it, and then I turn it upside down, and will that change it?
No.
No? Think so? So what do you guys think? Should I try it? So, yeah, that means yes. So if I go like this, are you ready?
No.
Am I over the bucket, right?
No.
I'm not being careful. I haven't done it yet here. All right. You ready? This could be, you might be like Sawyer Robert here in just a second. See? So you guys, are you ready to try this? You guys might want to do it over the bucket. How long will it stay there?
I don't know, but I don't want to know.
Now here's the secret. When you try it, you've got to have it straight up and down. If it's not straight up and down, it will pour out. See if I tip it a little bit? All right. Thank you, Ben. You can go have a seat. You guys go, you try it. I'll give you a second. You all try it. See what happens. As you do that, it looks like it doesn't always. So you have to have it straight up and down, and maybe that sort of says, God says, I want you to trust me that this is going to work. But you really need to pay attention, okay? I mean, you know, it's not just anything that's going to work. You got to listen to me and follow carefully. Are we getting wet? Well, if some of you kids are having trouble doing it, you can come down. We can try it after the service with each other. You can just maybe stick those under your chair then when you're done or whatever. Just why don't you put it back there with the other one there. That's great. Okay, so what's that about? What's that about? We're learning something about trust here, okay? And God is showing us something about trust and how it works. And there's something important here. And that is when God asks us to trust, and I think this is really nicely illustrated in this, because you say, well, okay, you know, Greg says we can do this, but I don't think this is going to work. But it did work. Why does it work? Because there's some magic? No, that's what happens. It's an air pressure thing, you know, that holds the cardboard on. That's what's happening. You don't expect it. See, this is a lot of things about life. What God is trying to lead you to in life is that God says, some of the stuff that I want to show you it looks like it's not going to work. We call this counterintuitive. You look at, God says, I want you to trust me, not your money. God says, I want you to know that generosity is better than just having stuff. God says, I want you to believe that forgiving is actually an active force in the world, not just a passive thing that we do because we're wimps. And we looked at this, I don't know, that looks, that's counterintuitive. I'm not sure that works. But when we try it, we finally start saying, you know, it does work, and actually it kind of makes sense, because as I look a little deeper into the world, I realize that that is how the world is made up. From my surface view, I was afraid of it. I didn't think it was going to happen. But now that I understand the world a little bit deeper, because God, you called me into these to try these things and to see this happening, I begin to see that it makes sense. There's a feeling on your outline that says this: trusting God isn't hard because it's irrational. Trusting God is hard because it stretches us. It stretches us to see the world from a bigger perspective than we normally do. God gives us examples like this around the world all the time for us to see. And God gives us his examples not because, like, God's hiding little clues around in the world, but that's simply the way the world works. See, God made everything. God wove the ways of living according to God's will right into the world so that they work in this world. The reason we don't see them, the reason they're counterintuitive to us, is that we normally look at the world from our 5.5-foot level, or from, if you're a kid, from your 3-foot level. And God says, no, you need a much bigger perspective. You need my perspective so you can see deeply into how I have woven existence together, and you'll begin to understand how all this works. And so God has given us all kinds of examples of that to run into all time. Some of these seem kind of trite, like a picture of a sunset. We see these sunsets, and God says, you know, that's just a natural phenomenon. You can be explained by the angle of light and by dust in the atmosphere and all this kind of stuff. But nonetheless, I put it there as a way of letting you remember that this world that I gave you is beautiful. And that is simply intrinsic in what it is. It isn't an added-in thing. It's the way it is. Or another example, this is one of my favorites, is the acacia trees in Africa. I don't know how familiar with acacia trees, but acacia trees have these little nuts. And the elephants, yeah, like that. And they're really, really hard little things. The elephants come along, and they eat the leaves out of the acacia trees. And when they're eating the acacia leaves, they end up eating the seeds as well. Now, if that was just the way it was, there would be no more acacia trees left in Africa because the elephants would have eaten them all. But evolution has made the shells of the acacia seeds hard enough, the nuts, hard enough that they're able to withstand the digestive system of an elephant and go through the elephant and plant acacia trees. All right, now that's kind of cool, but here's the stopper. Some acacia trees have evolved their nuts to the point where if they don't go through an elephant first, they can never germinate because their shell is too hard. Now, I'm not going to tell you what that means. That's one for you to talk about at brunch today, okay? Well, all right? But that's that kind of stuff. These are insights. I mean, the world is full of stuff for us to look at. And if you look at these puzzles that nature shows us, that science unveils for us, you look at those things and tell me you're not learning more about what God is about in this world and what it means for us to be in relationship with each other and with this world and with God. I mean, that's just the way it works. Science does not disprove God at all. Science shows us, gives us insight into how God makes things work for us. So that's the big things. So kids, pull out that sheet. Have your parents pull out the stuff that you do at H2O and have your parents talk you through it every week. And parents, sometimes you don't want to do this because you're worried about the questions your kids are going to ask you. They're going to bring up uncomfortable stuff and things that you don't know the answer to. All right? This is what you do. When your kids ask you a question and you don't know the answer, you may want to write this down. It's not on your outline because this is really important. This is what you say when they ask you a hard question. You say, I don't know. All right? That's okay. Your kids don't want you to be know-it-alls. They want you to be part of life with them. So this is a good thing to say, you know, I don't know the answer to that question. Let's figure this out together. Let's learn more together. That's the greatest thing you can do, and then you really will be learning. There's also the family drive time question. It's at the bottom of your outline every week. You can use those. Those are good for everybody, not just families. And if you don't have kids, you've got your outline from Sunday morning. If you aren't here, it's online. There's also the group life discussion guides. There's audios from our messages. There's all kinds of stuff. And Melissa, I think you got some stuff for us, too.
I'm on. Good morning. So as Greg and I were talking about this week, along with the staff, one of the things we were talking about is prayer and how we build relationships and connections with prayer. And I think we know that prayer is something that we can do any time or any place. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm a seminary student and pastor, and so you would think this would always just be natural, right? But it's not always just natural for me. I have a life just like so many of you that is just full, right? We get caught up in all the things that are going on around us, and sometimes, if you're like me, you might forget to pray. And through prayer, we build relationships. It might be some personal stuff that gets you caught up. It might be really good stuff going on, like my son's graduating from high school in 2 weeks, and that's great, but sometimes it makes me forget. It might be some really sad things. Somebody mentioned the two kids in St. Louis Park who were at the park this week, and so sometimes those really sad things, too, we just get so caught up in it, and so we need reminders, and we need sometimes a place or an event or something that reminds us to keep the communication lines open with God through prayer. Often it helps when these reminders are tangible. So what do I mean by that? I know there's a lot of kids in here this morning, so maybe the kids can help me out. How many senses do we have? You can just yell it out. Five, right. And what are our senses that we have? Touch, taste, look, sight, smell, hearing, right? We have these senses. And we use these senses to be in touch with God. And God comes to us and touches all these senses so that we're reminded of our relationship with God and with God's world. These reminders are connecting points with God. Some of these might be places and objects, maybe. There are many different places you might find these connecting points. Maybe some of you go to your cabin and you're out in nature and you feel really connected with God there, and it comes naturally for you to pray. It might be in your garden. Maybe you're smelling the flowers and seeing the birds and hearing the birds chirp. All different kinds of places. There are many objects, too, that help us as connecting points with God that remind us about prayer. Some of you might have a prayer journal. Some people have told me about a love journal. For each of us, it's different. So since we have so many kids today, I brought something that Heidi put together. And Becca and Jules are going to help pass these out for us. And adults, you're really welcome to take these, too. But maybe after the service, unless you're really tired, you need something to do right now. But I'm going to just demonstrate really quickly how we can make something. It's called a 7-day zine. And so parents kind of watch this, or people around kids that you might help. You just fold it in half once. You fold it in half again. Sometimes having been a teacher comes in handy. You can remember these things. And you fold it again. And there's a title up here, "Hey God, a week of talking with God." And then we're going to fold it one more time the other way. And there's a line we're going to cut up here. Now this is the tricky part, and let's see if I can remember how I did it the last time. You like this, and any other teachers out there who remember how to do these things?
I do.
Do you know how to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to just do it real quick, like that, right? Kind of make a cross out of it, maybe. And then you fold it. You're going to get your own, and you can do it, and you can show the people around you if that would be good. And you leave the title out front. But something really tangible like that, you can stick it in your pocket, you can stick it in your purse, and for adults out there, too, sometimes we can use a little bit of a reminder of something to be thankful for or something to pray about. So as they're passed out, feel free to take them. There are times and events, too, that help as connecting points. You might like to pray when you wake up every day. Some people like that kind of a routine. You might pray before dinner. You might pray at bedtime. And there are different group life is a time that many of you take some time to pray. There are some religions, too, that have really specific reminders for prayer. I was in January in Israel and Palestine, and one of the things we heard five times a day, it was the call to prayer. And so many Muslims at that, those five times a day, and they vary a little bit every day, but they hear the call to prayer, they have their prayer mat, they kneel and they pray and they face toward Mecca. And it's something that really is very physical that they do every day that involves their whole body. I brought today the rosary. A lot of Catholics use a rosary as well as a reminder for them to pray. I know some of you might have very strong feelings about the rosary. Maybe that's why you're even here today. But for some people, it really serves as a reminder and a connection with God. One of the things to remember is that we all have different connecting points. So it's important to find something that works well for you, because sometimes these can be a prison if they become something we have to do that keeps us from connecting with God. Or they can be doorways that connect us with God. So as you're thinking about these things today, remember that each of us will have different connecting points, different things that remind us of our connection with God. I grew up Lutheran. I never used rosaries, but I did. I was a chaplain intern at Good Samaritan Society in Minneapolis, and it's a place for people who have, the people I worked with had traumatic brain injuries, spinal cord injury, mental illness, and a lot of people really felt forgotten by pretty much everybody. Even sometimes they felt forgotten by that God had forgotten them. But there were a lot of people, then every Friday they would come and they would say the rosary, and it was something that helped them connect and something that helped them feel like they were remembered. There was one gentleman there, he wasn't Catholic, he didn't use a rosary, but this reminds me of him. And he would sit, he was in a wheelchair, and he would sit under a painting that, I think we have a picture of the painting, but he would sit under it all the time, and it was titled Peace, Be Still. And for him, it was a reminder when he was all worked up and the rush of life was around him and so much was going on, and maybe he didn't feel great, and he would sit under that painting, and it was his reminder that he was connected through God, to God with through prayer. Now, this gentleman, he would always ask me. I would preach every week at a chapel service, and so every week he would ask me, oh, what are you preaching about today? And we'd talk about it, and before I preach, and sometimes he'd come to the service, sometimes he wouldn't. But there was one particular service that he did come to, and it happened to be that the text for the day was this. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget. Sometimes moms can forget. But God says, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hands. As I said, many of the people who lived at Good Samaritan really felt forgotten. But they could look at their hand then and remember that God remembers them, that they're connected to God, and even use that as a prayer. So I'm going to ask you to do something. And this, again, I need the kids to help us out with this. But our hands can also be a way that we pray. Sometimes people like to pray like this or like this. There's all different kinds of ways we have our hands when we pray. But I want you to take, I'm left-handed, so I'm going to kind of hold out my right hand. If you just to yourself hold out your hand, this is something that kids or adults can do. But think of something today that you're thankful for, or think of something that's troubling you today. Think of something that you want to pray about today, just one small thing. And you can just kind of write it on your hand, you can draw it on your hand. You can just think about it being there. Close your hand. Hold on to that for a minute. then you can open your hand. You can open it in a flutter, just softly, so your prayer flutters up. Or you can throw that prayer up to God. Maybe if you're a baseball player, you want to throw it up and bat it up to God. But your hand, something just simple like that, can be something that reminds you of your connection with God, that God always remembers you. So there's something valuable in having someone or some event that reminds you to take some time out of the whirlwind of your day and reconnect with God. Jesus also took time out. You heard the story, Greg told you the story about Peter walking on the water. Well, before that, Jesus had fed the 5,000 with loaves and fishes. We've maybe heard that story before. And then he told people, okay, go home now. And he went to the mountain to pray. Jesus took a little bit of time out. He went to a place that he went sometimes and he prayed there. And I think it's probably, at least in some way, so that he was ready to be rejuvenated, to be there with Peter and the other disciples and to be there with us. And so it helps build connections. I'm going to just go back to this rosary for a minute. So this rosary, somebody gave it to me, and I, like I said, I don't do prayers, like, specific prayers or anything, but my dad had cancer and died about a year ago, and for some reason, at that time, I took these beads and held on to them. I didn't say specific prayers or anything, and sometimes I probably didn't even pray, but I held on to them. And it was a reminder for me that really in this difficult time, God was there with me and with my family. And I don't really use these too much anymore, but I have them hanging, and so sometimes I'll see that, and it's just a reminder for me that God was there with me and God still is with me as well. Sometimes, I don't know if any of you have ever seen one of these before. It's a prayer shawl. And this actually belongs to one of my friends. She got it for a surgery. And so sometimes it's just this physical reminder of God's arms wrapping around us. So there's all different kinds of things that help us remember and that connect us to God. There was one more verse in the Bible that, especially in the times when I felt really sad, and I'm terrible at remembering remembering Bible verses and stuff. I used to be great at it when I was young, but now, you know, I just paraphrase things a lot. But for you today, I actually wrote the verse down. But there's one verse that I also carried with me, and I still do, that says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." So there are times when you want to pray and you just don't know what to pray, but you don't even have to worry about it. The Holy Spirit's right there with you. Prayers, there's not a right way to pray, but it builds our relationship with God and with others around us. So places too, like, I'm not always in crisis or anything. I hope none of us are. But there's also really places that you might go. Do any of you like to walk around the lakes or anything? Yeah, I mean, we live in Minneapolis, and so we have beautiful lakes. And I find that I'll be walking around the lakes, and all of a sudden, there are prayers in my head. I don't start them on purpose, but it's a place that brings me back and reminds me of the relationship and that God is right there with me. And so I imagine that you all have some place like that too, if you think about it. I'm talking about some places that and objects and things that have really helped me as I build my connections too and remember to pray. And so find connections that work with you. Right? We all have different ways that we connect with God. Maybe your journals or your garden, or some of you I know are running for the marathon. Maybe that's a place where you're going to pray. I know I would be. Krista Tippett maybe some of you have heard her before, but I went to a lecture of hers this winter, and she talked about how habits, daily rituals, and things like that help us build the synapses. So use these times as ways to build up your brain. Her show this morning was actually about prayer, in part. So if you want to go back and listen to it, it's a good show. There's one more connecting point I want to talk about this morning. So today you see tables among us. There are five tables here. God comes to us in many ways, and communion is one of these ways. Jesus knew that we are people who need to have something tangible. He knew that we need something that feeds us. So as we come to communion today, we have something that's for all of our senses. We hear the words, we taste the wine, we smell it, we touch the bread. And what's the one I'm missing? We see it all right here. And we come together to do this as people together. So as we come to communion today, remember what Greg said about baptism. It's the same with communion. When you have this, you can begin again. Just like through baptism. So there are five tables around the room. Feel free to go to any of the tables to eat the bread and drink the wine, and grape juice is the lighter colored one. There's gluten-free crackers up here. Please serve each other, and as you share the bread, you can say if you'd like, you can begin again.